10 WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.
I'm Mike DeBusky. On Capitol Hill, the Republican-led House Oversight Committee holding a hearing looking into Hunter Biden's plea deal on tax fraud charges. Two IRS employees expected to testify, claiming he got a so-called sweetheart deal. ABC's Jay O'Brien has reaction.
Democrats on the committee point out that David Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney for Delaware, who's running this investigation, has denied the claims from these whistleblowers that there was any kind of political interference in his investigation. And we also heard from Jared Moskowitz, who's a vocal Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, who will be inside that hearing room today. He called all of this a quote-unquote joke.
New Hampshire GOP Governor Chris Sununu announced he will not seek re-election for a fifth term in the 2024 election. Sununu earlier had considered entering the race for president, but decided not to run. Dangerous heat and health alerts. Phoenix headed towards another record day. This is ABC News. It's been nearly 30 years since rapper Tupac Shakur was shot and killed in Las Vegas, and this week police executed a search warrant in the case.
When police moved in, they did so with force, armored vehicles, and the SWAT team. ABC News obtaining this audio from a doorbell camera as a search warrant was carried out. Police on loudspeakers ordering everyone inside the home to come out. A source telling ABC News detectives were looking for computers and articles about Tupac and his death. The case will now be presented to a grand jury for possible charges. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump says it's apparent a toxic culture is rampant at Northwestern University's athletic department. He says he's received reports of hazing within the school's baseball and softball programs in addition to football. Yesterday, a former football player at the university filed the first lawsuit over the team's hazing scandal. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Ford Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Court dates for the teenager accused of killing Lily Peters last year have been scheduled. Motions this week to seal photos and videos of the case were accepted. Another motion hearing next week will decide what evidence can be used by prosecutors. On August 7th, the court is scheduled to decide whether the case will be moved to juvenile court or if the now 15-year-old suspect will be tried as an adult. Earlier this year, two Northwestern Wisconsin police officers were killed in the line of duty. Now, their communities are honoring them. County Highway SS in Barron County between Chetek and Cameron was renamed Monday night to be the Officer Emily Breidenbach and Officer Hunter Scheel Memorial Highway. The officers were killed on April 8th after being shot by 50-year-old Glenn Perry during a traffic stop. He died from a gunshot wound after shooting both officers with an AR-15. And tonight, northwestern Wisconsin has a slight risk of scattered severe storms. The National Weather Service says the storm should be arriving late afternoon into the evening. From the Civic Media News Desk in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
We're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country.
That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the talented, the wonderful Mr. Aaron Zommers, right on the other side of the window now in the other booth. Welcome back. It is Wednesday, July 19th, hour number two of the big show. Still getting used to this beautiful new studio we have high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square in downtown Madison, the new world headquarters of Civic Media, Mr. Zommers. And it's kind of like that has that new studio smell and still trying to get used to the seats.
Yeah, definitely. It's weird. Like right now I'm making eye contact and talking to Todd, which has not happened anytime during the show before Monday. Not once.
And I keep wanting to look back over at the screen because I'm so used to looking at the screen, right? Rather than to look at each other.
Such a simple thing that we take for granted, I guess.
I know, right? So I was driving home last night and I was going out of the parking ramp. And I drive, I drive a Dodge Ram 1500. It's not a small vehicle. And I'm going down the parking ramp. And a couple of young Yahoo dudes with their caps on backwards are driving this monstrosity pickup truck with a great big, huge mirrors out at the side and a full bed. Mine's a short bed. This is a full bed. And they're just barreling through the parking lot. And so, you know, Todd just, like, I stop. And, of course, I'm the one who backs up and lets them go through and acquiesce. And I just thought to myself, why do I always have to be that guy? You know, why do I have to be the one that stops and lets people through? Just once, I'd like to keep on trucking. And you know what would happen? I'd get hit.
Yep, it's because you care.
That is my luck. That is my luck. Well, first world problems, but that's what was on my mind this afternoon. Go back to the text line real quickly. Appreciate you listening to us last hour with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Talking about a variety of things, we brought up Ronald Reagan at one point. One listener from WMDX here in Madison says, quote, Reagan, he played a huge part in the mess we're in economically in this country. How is that trickle-down economics working out for you? What a joke, unquote. Well, I wasn't defending everything Reagan said. To Trigby's point, we're going to do this one Wednesday. We will do an entire show dedicated to a debate and discussion of Reagan and the legacy. Because I certainly don't view him the way I used to. I'm just saying at the time, as a young person in 1980, 82, 83, 84, it was a different feeling than it is in 2023, looking through with the advantage of hindsight, right? So I think we're going to do a whole Reagan show. That's great. Another listener says from Waukesha, WAUK, quote, of course CJ supports and loves Reagan. All right. Says that he is angry. All right. Another listener from Waukesha, WAUK, not that Trump had any complicity with Putin BS, but Biden and crime family has taken over $100 million from China. Don't think that the Biden folks, the Biden family has taken that much money from China by a long shot, but we'll keep reading them. Says, shaking my head, like how you disparage MAGA, which is, quote, make America great again. Nothing liberals should be crowing about. Shaking my head.
Well, the thing is, it's right. not that we disparage the idea of America being good. It's no. that phrase has come to mean more than just do things that are good. It has come to mean worship Donald Trump.
Exactly. And I think it's still interesting that people think that somehow Trump tried to make people think that he came up with this, make America great again. But I have that same poster, actually, that Trigby has, that has Reagan, Ronald Reagan. It says, make America great again. But it was very different. It was a unifying cause in 1980. It was not this divisive thing of attacking each other.
Right. Now, make America great again stands for... Oh, all these gay folks and everything. Just stop. Go back in your basement, in your closet.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's what... And again, why does the Republican side, the MAGA side, keep bringing this up, right? That's the side that keeps bringing it up. Before the break, I want to note July 19th. So it was 175 years ago today, a little date in history. July 19th, 1848, 300 men and women... gathered in Seneca Falls, New York. It was the first public political meeting on women's rights. A two-day conference marked the beginning of the movement for women's rights to vote. That right took 70 years to win with ratification of the 19th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Four of the convention's five women organizers were Quakers, a.k.a. the Religious Society of Friends. The fifth leader, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, not a Quaker, wanted the convention to just focus on fighting for women's right to vote, women's suffrage. However, Lucretia Mott and the other Quaker leaders wanted to address the roots of women's oppression, which they saw as, quote, mindless tradition and savage greed, unquote. You see, Quakers always wanted and viewed men and women as equals. Among Quakers, there's never been talk of women's rights. It was simply human rights. Seneca Falls convention goers approved a document called the Declaration of Sentiments, modeled after the U.S. Declaration of Independence. It started that, quote, all men and women are created equal, unquote, and it celebrated women's worthiness, criticized their subjugation, and articulated the rights they deserved. Participants also passed 12 resolutions designed to provide for women's equality, affirming their right to vote, such as the station of society and their conscience shall dictate and their sacred rights to the elective franchise. This date in history, 175 years ago today, Seneca Falls, New York. Back with your phone calls and more after this. This is the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average. Average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Tunnel Ball Show across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. You don't have the app, you say? Well, the only better day to download the Civic Media app than today was yesterday. And we can't go back. So you might as well just do it today. Go to your app store on your iPhone or your Android. Type in Civic. That's C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It is free, takes less than a minute. The Civic Media app, where you can listen to Mr. Zomers and I every afternoon, 1 until 3, and all the other fine programming as well. Fine programming like our next guest at the bottom of the hour, coming up at 2:30, Tara Ariano. She is a national TV critic, writes for publications like GQ Magazine and Vanity Fair, also Vulture, The New York Times, Slate, Cracked.com, and she was the co-founder of the former TelevisionWithoutPity.com site. A really innovative site. Was one of the credited as one of the first places that put television synopsises together where you could kind of catch up on your shows and also offer critique at the same time. A lot of network executives followed Television Without Pity. They ended up selling it to NBC Universal, which unfortunately discontinued it. But Tara Ariano will be here at the bottom of the hour talking about the Screen Actors and Writers Guild strike going on right now across America. Going to ask her about that. Also going to ask her as a critic, we'll see if she answers this. Maybe she'll say she doesn't want to. I don't know. I want to compare notes. I'm going to write down my top 5 or 6 TV shows of all time in my mind or ones I really like. And I'm going to ask her to give us hers. And we'll see the difference between a layperson viewer like Todd and an actual critic like Tara Ariano.
It'd also be interesting to compare to my favorites because as we talked about with, what the heck was his name the other day? Not yesterday, the day before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My mind is going, but go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about loving bad things.
Right.
And that goes to TV shows as well. I like some that I definitely know critically. Leave
not
a lot
so
to be desired, but that's part of the appeal to me.
Very good. Coming up at 2:30, Tara Ariano, we will talk television strikes and everything else in the television world. Strikes are a theme, and I want to get your calls on this here in the next 15 minutes or 10 minutes or so. Give us a call. On this, UPS has announced today, according to CBS News, UPS, yes, what can Brown do for you? That UPS will train non-union employees ahead of a looming strike. Should we have scab UPS workers? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would you trust your packages to somebody that had a couple of weeks training? Because that's all they got. All right? 844-967-2789. Dateline, North Texas, according to CBS News, amid negotiations with UPS union employees, the company is taking preemptive actions to keep the packages moving. It's planning to train non-union employees in case drivers go on strike and make sure deliveries on goods and medications are not impacted. In a statement, the company insists the move is a temporary solution and not an effort to walk away from negotiations or permanently sweep out union workers. 97% of which voted in favor of a strike if a deal is not reached by July 31st. We talked about this on a previous show. Delved into it. UPS And believe me, I was working in retail before I doing a management gig for L.L. Bean, where almost all, probably 98, 99% of our stuff came from UPS or was delivered by UPS. And those trucks are not air conditioned. And so the workers have said, look, with the climate change, particularly in places like California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, temperatures are well over 100 degrees in some of these trucks. And so the union basically said, look, we want you to start providing air condition in these trucks, giving us reasonable work breaks to allow for bathroom usage and make conditions better. Now, UPS allegedly acquiesced to some of the air conditioning things, but they didn't say when that might be. So, yeah, it's fine to say, oh, sure, well, we'll put the air conditioners in as we replace the trucks. Well, that might be 5, 6, 7 years. For some of these vehicles, right? So UPS, 97% of UPS workers voted to strike if a deal is not reached between the union and UPS by the 31st of this month. According to CBS this afternoon, UPS Teamsters make up half of the company's workforce. Drivers are demanding better benefits and working conditions. Several items have already been agreed upon, as I said, but the union is still looking for pay increases in both full and part-time workers. This would be the largest U.S. labor strike in more than 60 years if it goes through. The last time that UPS workers specifically went on strike was in 1997. Those employees were gone for so long that it meant there was a shutdown for operations for over 2 weeks. 1997, Mr. Zobrist, I was around in 1997. I will tell you that the internet was not prolific at that point. And therefore, things like Amazon Prime did not exist. And so, yes, there were a lot of packages delivered by UPS in 1997, but nowhere near the reliance that we depend upon today.
Oh, yeah. At this point, it is an essential service because, as you mentioned, medications and other goods like food and everything need to be shipped to people. If you're disabled and you don't have somebody to take you in to pick up your meds, you need to get them delivered to you. And there are a lot of people who have that. Having worked in a pharmacy, I had to ship out a lot of stuff most days. And there, I see UPS from their perspective. They have two options. They have trained a bunch of scabs, sorry, non-union workers, to hold over because you can't not ship people meds.
Right.
Or make a deal with the union. And of course, they're choosing the one that is a more, is a Band-Aid, is a scab over the solution instead of actually doing the right thing. And I don't think that what the UPS union workers are asking for is unreasonable, especially the work condition things, but even the pay increase, because it's such an essential service now, it has become so much more important than it used to be. And it is a hard job.
I mean, I've talked to some of these drivers that would deliver stuff to L.L. Bean here in Madison. And oftentimes some of these packages were bulky and they were well over 100 pounds. And one driver is expected to deliver these packages. And by the way, oftentimes without a dolly, just lifting these things and walking long distances across stores or apartments, whatever. I mean, I baled hay as a kid, all right, at my grandparents' farm. And some of these drivers on certain days are being put through at least the same type of conditions as baling hay. Let's go to, speaking of back home in Richland County, let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Yuba, Wisconsin. Yuba is in beautiful Richland County. That is where we find Lee. Lee in Yuba, what say you?
Hello, Todd. How you doing?
Well, better now that you're on the line with us. Thanks for listening on WRCE in Richland Center. What say you, sir, about this
you're
UPS?
Certainly welcome.
What say you about this looming strike?
Well, my family is a union family, and UPS makes tons of money, and they ought to have some of the executives that make millions of dollars come down and drive those trucks, work on the lines, and do the things that people have to do. They make all kinds of money off the backs of the working people, and unions built this country, and the working class, the middle class people, and I am definitely for the union, and I think the scabs that may come in and take over their jobs, I hope they get to pay the price by being in those overheated trucks and suffer what the people have to suffer every day.
I agree with you, Lee. I'm on board. I'm supporting the UPS workers on this, partly just for the reasons you said, but I saw this stuff with my own eyes when I was helping unload trucks. And like I said just before you came on, some of these drivers have to lift packages that are well over 100 pounds and sometimes without a dolly. Oh, yeah. And not just in the truck, they're having to take them into a building or out of. I mean, it's really hard work, and they're on this clock, and they have to try to find a place to use the restroom.
Yes, and they move right along. I mean, they don't dally. We've had a number of people from UPS deliver to our farm, and they do their job. They do a darn good job, and some of these people that sit in leather chairs and don't do anything but smoke cigars and wish they had more money, you got to get out on the line and do some work.
I couldn't agree with you more. These top executives certainly could sacrifice some of those golden parachutes and actually help the workers. Lee, always appreciate you listening up there at WRCE and Richland Center in Yuba. Really appreciate the call. You have a great day, okay? All right, thank you so very much. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Appreciate you listening in. Let's go back to the phone line and go to Bev in Richland Center. Bev, thanks for listening up there in RC. What say you?
Well, I have to say that I agree with my fellow Richland County resident, Lee, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, I don't blame people taking the non-union jobs. Everybody's got a right to try to find a better job. Mm-hmm. And if someone's trying to get make more money for their family, it's hard to blame the folks that are taking what we consider to be the scab jobs.
Sure.
What I think is wrong is the fact that the company won't negotiate in faith with the workers and solve this strike before it happens.
It's one of those, to me, Bev, don't judge until you're in somebody else's shoes. And if you're trying to provide for a family and a $30 an hour job or whatever it is comes along, yeah, I get it. I'm not sure that I 100%, I mean, it still does hurt those workers trying to get better benefits. But, you know, if it's a person trying to provide for their family, hard to be too judgmental.
Yeah, and the unions have struggled, you know, since the beginning of the country with with the businesses bringing in scabs or bringing in the non-union labor. And it's never been good for anyone. Yeah. But you can't blame the folks who are just trying to make a living.
Bev, always appreciate listening in. It was great to meet you recently up there at Richland Center. You have a great day in Richland County. Bev, let's go down to Watertown. And Annie in Watertown, 1 minute before the break, it's all yours.
I've known a lot of people that work for UPS, and I know as drivers or the package handlers, it's really tough. Your driving record, I mean, you make one little mistake, you're out. I mean, it's rare when you get away with one little driving mistake. I mean, so that's tough. I know the last time they went on strike, it's like, oh, they make so much money. One thing is, I was so worried about my friends that were drivers that worked through the pandemic.
Yeah,
and they did, at risking themselves. And then after the pandemic, UPS got some kind of big, giant millions of dollars bonus.
PPP, yeah, right.
And none of it went to the drivers.
Annie, thank you so much for up against the break. Annie in Watertown, thank you so much. Great point. Talk more about unions with the writer's strike and the actor's strike with Tara Ariano after this on the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. The U.S. says it's working with South Korea and Sweden to find out more about American Army Private Travis King, who was taken into custody in North Korea after he crossed the demilitarized zone. The 23-year-old was supposed to return to the U.S. to face possible discharge after his release from a South Korean prison on altercation charges. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says they're trying to find out where he's being held.
The administration has and will continue to actively work
actively work to ensure his safety and the return of Private King to us and to the to his family, obviously.
The investigation into the Long Island serial killer murders expanding into other states. Suspect Rex Huerman had properties in both South Carolina and Las Vegas. He's charged with three murders dating back to more than a decade. Heat records breaking again across the country as dangerous triple-digit temperatures smother states from Florida to California. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ford Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Court dates for the teenager accused of killing Lily Peters last year have been scheduled. Motions this week to seal photos and videos of the case were accepted. Another motion hearing next week will decide what evidence can be used by prosecutors. On August 7th, the court is scheduled to decide whether the case will be moved to juvenile court or if the now 15-year-old suspect will be tried as an adult. Earlier this year, two Northwestern Wisconsin police officers were killed in the line of duty. Now, their communities are honoring them. County Highway SS in Barron County between Chittek and Cameron was renamed Monday night to be the Officer Emily Breidenbach and Officer Hunter Scheel Memorial Highway. The officers were killed on April 8th after being shot by 50-year-old Glenn Perry during a traffic stop. He died from a gunshot wound after shooting both officers with an AR-15. And tonight, northwestern Wisconsin has a slight risk of scattered severe storms. The National Weather Service says the storm should be arriving late afternoon into the evening. From the Civic Media News Desk in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench, in so holding the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says.
No, we're good.
Doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back in. Mr. Iron Zobner is our producer and engineer on the board. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Our next guest we welcome in and so happy to have her here along with us. It is Tara Arellano, and she is a writer, a TV critic. She was the co-founder of a fabulous company and site called Television Without Pity, and she has appeared as a national critic of TV in places like GQ, Vanity Fair, Crack.com, and several others. And just found out she is also a podcaster. She has a podcast called Extra Hot Great. We welcome her in, Tara Arellano. Thanks for being here.
Hi, happy to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is ours because people who know me know I love television. I'm 53, so I'm more of a broadcast. I'm still getting the hang of all the streaming stuff. It's just too much stuff sometimes for a guy or for anybody. And it's great to have a national critic who can help us sort through all this stuff. Tara, where did you grow up at, and what led you into the business of being a critic and writer for television?
I was initially born in the Saskatchewan, moved to the Niagara region of Ontario in high school, and then lived there through college, went to Toronto for grad school, and then I've lived all over the U.S. So I guess I got started writing in television because I'm like you. I just always loved TV, like back from when I was a pretty young kid. And so once the web revolution started, it was very easy to start a website. And so a friend of mine, Sarah D. Bunting, and my husband, David T. Cole, and I all started a website about Dawson's Creek. This is how long ago it was,
right?
25 years. and then, we just did recaps. And then after that was successful enough in the first year, we sort of expanded it out. And that turned into Television Without Pity, where we were covering dozens and dozens of shows every year.
I think for a lot of people, right, is some of our earliest memories. I'm trying to think of like the first TV that I remember having on in the house or watching that I specifically watched was probably Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, mm-hmm. and Captain Kangaroo. And then for whatever reason, I was born in 69, and so I was around during the Watergate hearings. And I remember the Watergate hearings being on. But I mean, those are indelible moments in a person's life. What was your earliest memory of television?
I also was a Sesame Street watcher. Yeah. There were different shows that were paired with it in Canada, and I'm sure that your listeners.
You never know. We stream around. I mean, there could be some Canadian listeners. You never know.
Okay. Well, it was The Friendly Giant, and then Mr. Dress Up, and then Sesame Street. That was the rock block every day on the CBC. And then every day at lunchtime, it was the Flintstones, reruns of the Flintstones at noon.
Yeah.
and then the Muppet Show was probably a really formative show for me when I was a kid. I think we are around the same age, so I wasn't quite old enough for Watergate, but I'm sure we have a lot of the same cultural touchstones.
But, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 11 or so. And so my sister and I would come home, my mom would be working, and we were kind of latchkey kids, right? And so television was kind of the babysitter and the companion. We'd turn it on, whether it was reruns on TBS or whatever, TNN at the time, of The Jeffersons and Good Times. And you just watch those until mom came home.
Yeah, same here. I was also a latchkey kid. So it was definitely a lot of syndicated sitcoms in the afternoon. Soap, Alice, Three's Company, which was certainly very inappropriate. But if it's on at 4:30, you're going to watch it.
Right. But it you know, now with all the options out there, but I grew up in a small town of 5,000 people in Southwest Wisconsin. And, you know, I can remember when there were basically 6-8 channels. And then, boy, when you got cable, holy cow, that was crazy to get to get Atlanta and Chicago and that sort of thing. But do you think that with more options, it's that the quality has been lost, or are we getting more quality because of more options now?
That's a good question. I don't think that quality and options don't necessarily correlate. I definitely think we are losing the shared experience of television just because, you know, like you said, there's so many streaming services. Everyone doesn't have all the same ones. There's a lack of opportunity to just all be watching the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the Super Bowl, maybe the Oscars, and that's kind of it, where just everyone is gathered watching the same thing.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, at the streaming services, some of their shows are good. Some of them are crappy. Do I watch Love is Blind? Of course. But just because something is streaming doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be higher quality.
Well, I mean, the shared experience you hit on. So I was around a big CBS family in our household and big, huge Dallas fans. And I was I literally moved about 3 weeks ago. I was trying to clean out boxes of stuff that I like, Todd, it's time to go to St. Vinny's. And I found my old shirt, my T-shirt from when I was a kid that had Larry Hagman's picture on it that said, "Who shot JR?"
Oh, wow.
I mean, millions and millions of it was the highest rated show at the time. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but MASH, the final episode of MASH, is still the highest rated broadcast TV program in history, is it not?
I think that's right.
It's not a Super Bowl or not a special. Like
Yes. I think that's right.
And so the point is that the old, you know, sit around the water cooler or whatever, people would gather and you'd actually say to each other, so who do you think shot JR? What do you think of that episode of Hawkeye and BJ? And we'd all know it because we all watched it. And there's something lost in society about bringing us together when we don't have it.
Yeah, there's the monoculture is dead, for better or worse. And there's certainly there are different tiers of like shows that get incredible ratings that do well across the board, you know, on broadcast versus shows that get a lot of buzz. And, you know, I'm sure there are lots of people that watch both Dancing with the Stars and Succession, but they're different. They definitely have occupy different spaces culturally in terms of, you know, respect and prestige and so forth.
Let me ask you this, Dancing with the Stars, better or worse without Tom Bergeron?
I am not a regular watcher of that show, but when I have seen it, he's the secret sauce. I think definitely right? worse.
I can't imagine.
You. I haven't watched anyone it saying otherwise.
I haven't watched it since they fired him. Haven't been back.
Yeah. They moved it to Disney Plus, but now they're right. moving it back.
Oh, because, really? Yeah, well,
yes.
And Len Goodman passed away, God rest his soul, this yes. last year. So
we miss him.
we all miss Len Goodman, absolutely. So, you have this great, you and a couple of the co-founders started Television Without Pity. And yes. I think it's just a wonderful thing. It was started, and I'll just look at my notes, 1998. You sold it to NBC, Bravo, Universal in 2007. And unfortunately, they did away with it in 2014. But explain to folks what this was. And quite frankly, the influence that you guys had.
Yeah, it was a website where before it was very easy to watch anything that you wanted on the internet, which you now can and could at, you know, the tail end of our time at the site. But back then, if you missed a show, you missed it and you might not ever get a chance to watch it again. And so our site was both entertaining, I think, on its own, but also provided a service which was extremely long, detailed, blow-by-blow recaps of TV episodes. And, you know, everyone does them now. You see them on TV Line and Vulture and Decider and lots of places. I've certainly written for those as well. but no one was doing them for, like, I mean, truly just thousands of words these things ran. And you summed up the history well. And so we covered all of the shows that were running in that time that were really buzzy and got a lot of fanatical attention from our readers.
So my paternal grandmother, God rest her soul, was a huge daytime soap opera watcher. So, you know, watch The Young and the Restless since I was a kid, As World Turns, later on The Bold and the Beautiful. I will admit to you, there was a point in my life where I would buy, on occasion, not a subscribe, on a Soap Opera Digest. So I could read about the episodes that I missed so I could keep up on it. Is that kind of the online version of this, only much, much larger and much more successful?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's accurate to say we were more successful than Soap Opera Digest. They are still around. We're not. But that's the idea. If you missed an episode, we would tell you in extreme detail what happened. And if you did watch it, I think, you know, we certainly heard that people still read the recaps because they were just, you know, fun and funny and entertaining and insightful.
I think you may be being a little bit humble here, because what I read is that Alan Sorkin at the height of The West Wing was basically writing an episode or changing storylines based on what you guys wrote.
There is talk of that. Yes. I mean, I think we always say we don't know for sure he was talking about us. There were multiple websites at that time that were critical of The West Wing and of his portrayal of women in particular. Mm-hmm. But yes, there is an episode called The U.S. Poet Laureate, I believe that I think that's the one where, one of the characters, Josh, the Bradley Whitford character, gets in a fight with the moderator of a website who has said some things he did not appreciate.
I mean, to have Alan Sorkin take notice, and I think there were other people, other executives in TV, because the great line of this that Television Without Pity had was, spare the snark, spoil the networks. I love that.
Yeah, you got to keep them in line. Right? Yeah, you can't let them think they can get away with whatever they want.
Because I think television over the years has just gotten lazy. Because I've said this once, I've said it twice, I've said it 1,000 times, to quote David Letterman, I love great writing. And mm-hmm. I think writing is an art, whether you believe in God or the universe. It is beyond our human capacity. It is a gift. And I love things that are well written. And I think television slowly has gotten lazier in its writing. Is that really the writer's fault, or is that what the network executives are asking for?
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily true. If you watch, as I have done, Melrose Place, for example, mm-hmm. there's a lot of lazy writing there.
All right.
For sure.
Fair enough.
You know, I think there's highs and lows in every era, and that you can't really generalize like that. But, you know, it definitely, I think show writers have to respond to the ways that people consume TV and assume, you know, we may only have 30% of the viewer's attention because they're also on their phone. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're second screening this show and they're looking up stuff as we're talking about it. We have to, you know, maybe be a little more repetitive in some of our plot points on a lesser show to make sure that they're bringing the viewer along.
I think you're fair in saying not everything is lazy. And again, I'm not a huge streamer. I'm in the middle of streaming the third season of Picard on Paramount Plus because I'm a big Star Trek fan. I think that's beautifully mm-hmm. written. I think Picard's been really well done. Not just because it's my name, but I think So Help Me Todd on CBS. I think that's a really smart comedy. I think that's really well written as well. But then there's other with Fire Country, this like big, I've tried to get into it and it's just like, I mean, it's just sloppy. I think, I don't know.
Yeah. That's not one I've engaged with, but once you finish Picard, you should watch Strange New Worlds on Paramount Plus.
Is it good? I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's my favorite of the new Trek shows, probably.
Really? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big Trek fan, so I will check it out. What are you, I guess as a critic, do you find yourself, well, geez, I have to watch this. Are there still things that you're like, I just want to watch it because I like it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes.
What are some of those?
I watch TV all the time. Most of it I'm not writing about. So yeah. Currently I'm obsessed with the new season of Project Runway All Stars. That's mm-hmm. on Bravo. Mm-hmm. They've brought back a lot of contestants from past seasons. It's the show that you remember. Christian Siriano has now replaced Tim Gunn as the mentor. Mm-hmm. So that show's a lot of fun. And just like that, the Sex and the City sequel, I understand is not for everyone, but I still think there are some solid laughs there. And it's very enjoyable and a real turn your brain off kind of show, with great fashion on that one, too, actually. That's the commonality between them. And the current season of Righteous Gemstones has been extremely strong. They brought in Kristen Johnston and Steve Zahn as guest stars, new family members for the Gemstones, and they have been spectacular. That's been a really strong return for season 3.
About a minute and a half left. We're going to talk about the strike when we come back. But you also write for crack.com, our mutual friend Chris Paul's great article this month. I can't say the entire thing on the air, but it's called Meet Luke McFlane, McFarland, rather. Meet Luke McFarland, Platonics Stable. And I can't say the word because it's not FCC friendly. And so it's stupid right. that I can't say that. But it's on mm-hmm. Apple TV Plus. I love Luke McFarlane, A, for a great actor, and also because he's hot. Is he a nice guy?
He was so nice. Yes.
Really?
He was lovely to talk to.
That makes me happy.
And that show is great. He's excellent in it.
And I was a huge Brothers and Sisters fan, so he was fantastic in that.
He's also Canadian, too. We had that in common.
Another Canadian. Tara Ariano is our guest, writer and TV critic. Don't go anywhere. Todd Allball's show on Civic Media continues after this.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On July 19th, the Committee of the Whole meeting will be held at 5 p.m. in Amory City Hall. In the meeting, discussion will occur relating to any changes being made in the municipal government. The financial health as well as the city's operations will be reviewed during this meeting. On Friday, July 21st, bring friends and family and see the Culpeper and Meriwether Great Combined Circus, sponsored by the Amory Lions Club. The circus takes place in Soldiers Field, located at Harriman Avenue South and Memorial Drive. Show start at 5 and 7 p.m. Get your tickets in advance at Chet Johnson's Drugstore or Innovative Planning Group in Amory. And on July 26th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert. Listen to the Roe Family Singers Bluegrass at 6 p.m.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow. A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes before our colleague Matt Flynn takes over. Matt Flynn Direct, you're not going to want to miss it. And then at 4 o'clock, of course, it's the Devil's Advocate. At 6 o'clock, the Maggie Dawn Show. At 8, Rick Smith Across America. And at 10 o'clock, our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. Right now, our guest this hour is Tara Ariano. Get the name right. Thank you, Todd. She is a writer. She is a TV critic, co-founder of Television Without Pity. She writes for things like GQ, Vanity Fair, Vulture, New York Times, Slate, Crack.com. She has a podcast called Extra Hot Great. Great name for a podcast. And you have a new book out.
It's not so new. It came out in 2020, but yes, I have a book called...
It's on pandemic time. We're all a little
I
off,
suppose that's right?
Right? Right? It's new to a lot of people. So
That's true. We did not get to tour it. So yes, it's new to you. It's called A Very Special 90210 book. Sarah D. Bunting and I co-wrote it. My co-founder I mentioned earlier from Television Without Pity, and it covers 90 plus, or possibly just 90, it's been a while, I forget, but several extremely important episodes from the 10 seasons of Beverly Hills 90210. People may think they were just the high school years and maybe a couple of college years and that was it. No, there were three seasons after they graduated from college, and those are not widely represented in our book, but we did cover them, sort of.
Why do series always go that? It never works with kids like that when they try to go after they graduate or after they move out of the house. It just never works.
Yeah. It didn't work in this case, that's for sure. But I guess enough people were still watching it that they kept it on.
And the name of the book again, please?
A Very Special 90210 book. You can get that wherever books are sold. There's also an audiobook, which we read, and that's from Abrams.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's awesome. Not a lot going on in Hollywood or anywhere else right now involving actors or writers. The Screen Guild the Screen Actors Guild and the writers both on strike right now. And a lot of this, you tell me, because you're there, you're the expert, but in my layman's terms, a lot of this revolves around AI and whether or not actors and writers are going to receive residuals, and also streaming versus linear TV. Do I have those two things right?
Yes. I mean, AI has definitely been the grabbiest thing that's been reported on, I think, because it's new, it's weird, people don't understand it, it seems scary, and is. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's part of it, that both guilds' cases, they wanted to make sure that writers and actors were not being put out of work by AI, basically. So the one of the instances that was reported out last week was that the AMPTP, the producers, wanted to have the right to basically scan a background artist and then use their image digitally in perpetuity and not pay them.
Whoa.
It feels like supervillain kind of business.
Right?
So, yeah. And so I think, you know, people may look at these strikes and think these are already very well paid, you know, performers, writers. Mm. What do they need this for? But, you know, there's a middle class and an underclass in both of these professions. and they're not living high on the hog. Most of them are not making their living doing their art, you know, even if they are in the guild. Mm-hmm. And so this is what the strike is for. It's not for the people at the top. It's not for Tom Cruise. It's for, you know, the background actor that goes on a shoot, gets paid $500 for the day, hopes that they can do it again, doesn't want to have their job essentially stolen by, you know, a computer, which is what's at risk. And so this is about protecting the middle class of these professions and making it so that you can continue to do it. I mean, you see stories, especially in the Writers Guild, when that strike has been going on longer, of people who wrote on network shows and are saying, like, the only reason I can continue to write in the streaming era is because I bought my house from what I made, you know, writing on Knott's Landing, writing on Taxi, like writing on these shows, because network shows, the protections were so much better. On streaming, when those deals were initially struck, it was sort of like, these are web shows, we don't know what they are. And now it's like, streaming is where most people are getting their television, and the people that make it are not getting properly compensated for it. And so that's what these strikes are about, to make sure that both of those two things, that AI doesn't replace anyone, and that people are getting compensated for the work that they're doing from the places where they're being broadcast, because it's not on linear TV mostly anymore.
Fran Drescher, the president of the Actors Guild, who I think has done a remarkable job, by the way, being out there. She was on CBS Mornings this morning. And, you know, she made the point that when they shot The Nanny, that was at the minimum, I think she said, like 23 episodes per season, right? Maybe up to 28. And now with some of these streaming shows, the season is 8 episodes. And then they move on. And so, well, The Nanny gets shown on whatever syndication, when you see it at 11 o'clock at night or whatever on a weekend, those writers and actors are still making residuals off of those reruns. But if it's on a streaming service, it gets a lot more murky, and there's no guarantee that the actors and writers are getting the residual of the eyeballs that are seeing it.
Well, it's that, and then there is also that, you know, the way that ratings are reported by these streamers is extremely opaque. So this isn't public information. Like, when Netflix says a billion minutes of this show was watched, what does that mean? Right. Like, they could tell us anything, we wouldn't know. And I'm sure that's part of it too, where it's like, you all of this accounting could be very suspect. So that's a concern as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right. All these old shows, people are still making money off them, because those contracts in those days were ironclad, and they were covering all of the possibilities of when and how people would see these shows. And now with streaming, it's, you know, something that originates on streaming, it could run, and then it could get yanked off of the platform 3 days after its finale, which happened to, you know, Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies. It's now nominated for Emmys. You can't see it because Paramount Plus took it offline. So all of those are concerns that, you know, the idea that you could do this work, not get paid for it, and it could poof away and not essentially not exist in any form. Those are all alarming developments that are bad. Bad for consumers, bad for producers, just bad.
Somebody who's been in the industry, has worked in it and covered it, any gut sense how long this might last?
Boy, I was talking to another critic yesterday, and his estimate was the median he had heard was 4 or 5 months. So that would take us into the new year.
Yeah.
You know, almost. So we may not be seeing scripted shows for quite a while, other than what's already in the pipeline.
Good gravy. That's going to be tough.
And you may not hear about them anyway, because the people that made them can't go out and do interviews to support them.
Can they even do an interview and just talk about themselves?
They can talk about themselves, I believe, as long as they don't talk about any work they did for any Strut company. So, you know, if they want to go and talk about their skincare line, sure. If they want to talk about the show they just finished, no, they can't.
That is fascinating. Tara Ariano, we ran out of time. We'll love to hear about your own favorite TV show sometime. We'd love to have you back. Thank you very much for taking the time today. You can find her at Extra Hot Great, her podcast, as well as GQ, Vanity Fair, and Crack.com, and others, and our new book coming out. It is Tara Ariano. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn Direct is next. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, keep banging your drum.
Listen. Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Bach. Hey,
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.
I'm Morgan Norwood.